You're listening to WBCALP 102.9 FM, Boston, Boston's community radio station.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Greetings, good evening. It's glad that you are tuning in. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to just encourage you about holding on and not giving up in times of adversity, in times of struggle, in times of pain. And there's so many of my brothers and sisters who are struggling, and I feel your pain. I mean, I know what you're going through, and I would like at this moment, as you tune in, to be able to find comfort or peace, you know, and strength to help you move on. One of the things that comes to my attention when I read the Bible, and I think about what it says, and there's a scripture that says, you know, I will not let the rocks cry out for me. And I find that to be such a powerful scripture. It lets me know that, listen, I know if the rocks have to cry out. I woke up one morning and the birds were chirping, and, you know, I was like, wow, it was like 5 a.m. They were already out chirping. I mean, you know, it was so close that it was right by my window. And so I just rested and listened. And I was like, the birds wake up and their first thing is to praise, is to sing, is to tweet. And I'm like, if that's good enough for the bird, then is it not good enough for me? I don't want to give my praise to rocks. I don't want to give my thanks to rocks. What I want is to be able to discipline myself, to be able to say, Lord, I thank you. And I find that in that posture of gratitude and thanksgiving, it really helps to propel you into a different thought pattern. It propels you in a different mindset. And so praise places us in the presence of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people, that he, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And the blessings are his presence, its perspective, its clarity, its hope, its strengthening, its refreshing. And I just want to encourage everyone to fight to stay in that place. When you go to church on Sundays, when you're at home, in your own worship time, to fight to stay focused and in the presence of the Lord. And remember the thought, like, wow, the Bible says that, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. It alludes to the fact that, listen, if you don't praise me, the rocks will praise me. But why wouldn't we want to praise the Lord? I guess let's start there. I guess it's hard to praise and be happy when there's so many things going on in your life. Is that it? It's hard to think about giving, you know, out of that pain and out of that place. I have the privilege of being able to work with a pastor in this season right now, and he's really going through something in health concerns. He found out that he had 4-stage cancer. And I'm amazed that when I attend services on Sunday, that if you didn't know the story, behind his praise. Like, you didn't know what he was going through. You wouldn't think at all that he was going through anything. And he doesn't, he said, he may have cancer, but cancer doesn't have him, right? He's saying that even though I'm going through this, God is still good and he's still worthy to be praised. And to not just say it, like the Bible talks about, you know, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You say these great things, but when it's time to live it out, you forget. You become distant. You become isolated. And it is a natural instinct or habit, I guess they call it fight or flight, that a lot of people in adversity begin to flight. They run. When that's the time to run close. I want to oppose those preachers that talk about, oh, you only come to the Lord when you need him. Amen. Thank you. Come to the Lord when you need him. Yes, we want to need him, or we want to come to him and serve him even when we don't. But when don't we need him? Like, thank God that you still had conviction in your spirit to even want to consider coming to Christ as an answer, opposed to running away from him. Amen. I thank God that there's something that struck a nerve in you that says, hey, like the prodigal son down there eating with the pigs began to have an aha moment. Like, wow, even the servants in my father's house eat better than this. Let me just go back home. You know, thank God for the conviction and thank God for the revelation that or the situation that brought you back to the faith. So, yeah, come back home, especially when you need him. Is that not what we parents sometimes tell our children? That we're there for you. I'd rather you figure it out while I'm on the earth than to have these situations and not have anywhere to turn to. Don't run away from God. Don't run away. He died on the cross for you. He loves you. He has you on his mind. He doesn't want you to run from him. He wants you to run to him. And whatever brought you to that place that you said, aha, I'm going to go and serve the Father. It's a miraculous thing to be able to know that you can run to an almighty God who has a plan for you, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. It is a miracle that God stayed on that cross and had you on his mind. We have to give him thanks. And that empowerment alone causes you to not want to give up, to not even consider it to be an option. And so here we are, looking at all the possibilities. That's what we do. We just come to remind you of what you already know, to remind you of what God has said in his word. And even in the midst, to be able to hold on. James 1, 2, and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So that's like really funny right there, right? Like, consider it absolutely joy when you get to go through. And it's like, how do we turn our mindset to even consider that? Like, what do you mean? I should think it's, I should consider it pure joy when I face trials. Because trials keep you humble. And trials keep you seeking God. Trials keep you looking and asking questions, praying, and depending upon God. Trials help you cry out, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know the answer. I can't give people sometimes the answer that they think they need, even though I might think they need to hear what I have to say. But I have to give it to God and trust that He will lay it on their heart, that He will lay it on their heart, that they will be brave enough to examine themselves and see exactly where they are, that they would come into realization, hallelujah, that this is just a temporary thing. Well, let's see what James says. So he says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's it. We're striving to be complete. The Bible says we're complete in Him. So we got to roll up our sleeves. We got to count it all joy and count it all joy again as God is developing in us this perseverance. And perseverance is going to bring about maturity. And we will not lack anything. Then he said in Romans, Paul said it this way, in 5:3-4. That's chapter 5, verse 3-4. And it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. That's a strange combination, to glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Maybe that explains why we see so many people who don't have good character. Their morals have been corrupted by the world. Maybe that's why we don't see, you know, people able to persevere in challenges. And maybe now we see why people lose hope. And the Bible says that's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for. But if you've lost hope, what are you hoping for? And if you're not hoping for anything, where's your faith? Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, the perfecter of our faith. I'm so glad that my faith growth isn't always just contingent on me, but that He is a perfecter of faith. Wow, Lord. So first, I'm to praise You. Even when I don't even think I have something to praise for. But don't we? Then I have to consider it joy when I go through trials of many kinds, because it's the testing of my faith that's going to produce perseverance and maturity and completeness. Then we glory in our sufferings, because we understand that our sufferings brings about perseverance and character and hope. And so Hebrews 12:1-2 Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Key thing is that we don't want sin to hinder us, right? We don't want to get entangled again in sin. And so we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who's going to perfect us. He's the one, hallelujah, that's helping us to build our endurance. When you're going through something, it doesn't feel good at all, you know. But in the end of it, right? And so that's why they said, you know, when we were young, our parents, we had chores, we had hard work, because they felt that the toughness or the hard work was going to bring about an endurance, a strength, you know. It was going to bring about an ability, you know. I used to have to go down south every summer, and I was like, oh, man, I didn't want to go down south, you know, and help my grandfather with sugar cane and picking up pecans. It was so hot. They didn't have air condition. But it kept me out of trouble, and it kept me focused. And hard work brings about that endurance and that strength. An appreciation for things. And I look at sometimes our young people today, they are not appreciative. It's just so expected. They're not grateful, you know? And so, play a game with a shoebox. Be creative. Go outside. You don't always have to have an iPad or iPhone or, you know, television. We were raised up. We explored things. We challenged ourselves and one another, you know? And so we see that we're losing a generation. They're losing their strength. They're losing their grit, their problem-solving abilities. You find younger and younger people of anxious and, you know, looking already for substances to help them calm down, to help them sleep at night, to help them rest. You know, and a lot of times we have to build them up, get them to do they taking out the trash, okay, but also, you know, this dish, we had to wash the baseboards, sweep and wash the stairs, hang out the clothes. They didn't have a dryer. We had to hang the clothes up, air dry, bring them in the evening, fold them up. Sometimes they'd make us iron them, you know, as we got of age. So hard work. And to this day, I realize, I just keep going. Sometimes I have to make myself stop, you know. But I noticed young people, they need, you know, they're not able to stay as focused. And so parents, don't let our young people get lazy. Don't let them always feel like they have to get without giving, without experiencing what it's like to be able to do something for free. You don't always need an allowance, don't always need to get paid. We couldn't get paid for things that just come with being part of the house community. We're not going to pay you an allowance to make your bed, you know? Things that need to be done in order for the house to function. We didn't get paid for that. But if you did something extra, maybe, you know, we get a little allowance for it. I mean, it's just good things, something to think about, you know. So don't get weary in well-doing, though, because at the proper time, we're going to reap the harvest. We're going to reap if we don't give up, if we don't faint, right? And so we don't want our young people to faint, you know, not be able to pass the MCAS, or, you know, they don't want to do homework, or they don't understand. And so what we're raising them up and conditioning them in now, you know, is going to carry over in their adulthood. So we want them to be perseverant. We want them to be able to have good character. We want them to be able to walk in hope and to work towards it, to set a goal, to save money, you know, to realize that sometimes instant gratification isn't always, you know, a great thing. That sometimes we got to, you know, you want it, you got to earn it, and you got to save for it, you know, and then you get the reward. So Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. And we want that to be our testimony, amen, that we fought the good fight, that we kept the faith, amen, that we were able to praise God in season, you know, praise Him when we're feeling down, praise Him when we're up, amen, that He inhabits the praises of His people. And so we want to be able to, you know, just simple. Like, I don't want to make it too difficult. And I know there's probably a lot of theologians that may disagree. But it's like, look, if you're a working mother and you also, you know, trying to hold down a family, you got to think about dinner. You got to think about your job. Oh, if you want to advance, then you got to go to maybe take some classes at night to school. And so we're juggling a lot of things. But whatever we're juggling, don't let the rocks cry out for you. Don't stop. Don't let it stop your praise. Don't let it stop acknowledging who God is. He said, in all thy ways to acknowledge Him. Amen. And with acknowledging Him comes direction, directing our path. Amen. And right now in this season, we all need clarity. We have to trust the Father. We have to trust the fact that He will not fail us, that He will not leave us, that we don't have to be afraid. He is a sovereign God. I'm at a place right now in my life that I'm realizing that God is sovereign. Amen. That hallelujah. That whatever, you know, we want to make the righteous choices when those choices come, opportunities for making a decision and choice come. We want to include God in everything that we do and the choices that we make. We want to glorify Him. You know, we want to be at the right place at the right time. There's constantly decisions that we have to make daily, and we want God to be in it. Amen. But who are you trusting in? Who are you hoping in? Who are you putting your facts towards? Hallelujah. Are you trusting yourself? Are you trusting your neighbor? Because sometimes self fails us. We fail ourselves. Sometimes our neighbor can't come through, can't pull it off, not able to do it. Sometimes someone can't loan you the money. And so we've got to get into that place where we can trust God, that we become disciplined, that we save, that we, you know. And so what is God putting on your heart right now? Are you suffering from unbelief, or are you getting weary? Are you losing hope, losing faith? Then we want God to restore you and to restore your perspective. Amen. That He would touch your heart again. Amen. That He would make it again another. Hallelujah. And so we speak to that unbelief. Amen. Sometimes those things are assigned so that we can go and we can see exactly where we're located and see where we went off, see where the where the holes are. Amen. Sometimes we get stuck because there are inner vows that we've made, judgments that we've judged ourselves, or we've judged other people, or we make inner vows, or we make statements. And we say, I'll never trust anybody. I'll never trust a man. And so God, you know, we take God as a male. And so therefore you don't listen to God. And so you got to go back and begin to work those things out and begin to ask God to show you those things that you might have said when you were hurt or wounded. You might not have meant it, but because out of the mouth speaketh the heart, and because our words are seeds, sometimes even when we say things in discontentment, how the Bible says we're going to give an account for every idle word. But when we speak those words, they begin to grow. Amen. And so Holy Spirit, reveal to those listening any judgments that were made or stated. You know, you might have had a bad relationship with someone, Let's say they were from Cuba, and you may say, oh, I'm not going to trust any Cuban. Well, you can't say that. All Cubans are bad because you experience something negative from one culture or gender doesn't mean it's everyone is bad, you know? So I know that wherever you are right now, if you're in a test or in a trial right now, it could be very hard. But this is when God is maturing you. This is when he's causing you to have perseverance, building your character so that you don't fall apart because God wants to use you. And so we have to realize that when we stay in tune to God and we stand upon his word, and when we in those weak days, in those weak moments, we begin to prophesy what God has already said. It's like we don't have to make it up. We can just use his words. Lord, I thank you I'm the head and not the tail. I thank you that I'm above and not beneath. I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. You just got to begin to rehearse. God, I thank you that you said in my weakness, you're yet strong. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, that you gave sight to the blind, whether that's spiritually blinded or naturally blinded. Hallelujah. And God, we're going to wait and believe and trust you until our change comes. Hallelujah. And so I want you to be encouraged. Whenever you feel silent, whenever you're losing that praise, remember, don't let the rocks cry out for you when you have so much to praise God for. You've been listening to Never Give Up, and I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Blessings upon your life, and remember that greatness is on the inside of you.